The ancient Jews, when they received the law from God, they received it in a spirit of great thankfulness because God was showing them how they were to relate to God, how they were to relate to each other and to themselves. So for the ancient Jews, this was a moment even to celebrate. In our reading today from the book of Deuteronomy, we hear how Moses is teaching the people about the law, how important it is to observe it, because if we observe the law, we receive life. And everybody wants to receive life. It doesn't deal us death, it deals us life. Moses wanted the people to be led along this path to carefully, very carefully observe God's law, which in turn would show to outsiders just how just the law is and how important it is. We, of course, are familiar with the law, especially the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments of God. And it is true, if we observe them carefully, we will flourish as human beings and as a human society, community. So the law is meant to guide us how we are to act with God, how we are to act with each other. It's not meant to oppress us or take away our freedom. It's meant to give us life. Thus, the ancient Jews even had a feast day to celebrate the giving of the law. It's what we call Pentecost. On that day, they celebrated a feast of the giving of the law to the people. That's how important the law was to them and how important it is to us, because on that day, the Holy Spirit is given to us in a special way. We receive the grace to live the new law of love for God. Over time, the Jewish leaders began to add to the divine law of God, which was something that Moses specifically told them not to do. Don't add to it. Don't subtract anything from it. He warned the people not to do so. But eventually, these accretions came in, and they became so important that, in a sense, you could say they overshadowed what the original law of God commanded. They clouded that divine law. And so we see our Lord today in the gospel. He's giving a teaching about the law. Because the Pharisees, when they were observing him, they noticed that his disciples were not washing their hands before they ate. This is not a divine law. But the Pharisees were so obsessed with this cultural human precept that they thought our Lord was abandoning the law. But our Lord had not taught against this custom. It was good if someone wanted to wash their hands before they ate. That's certainly something good to do. But it's not a divine law. And in comparison to what God was commanding us to do in the law, it had very little importance, this washing of hands. So Jesus says that such human traditions and such rules can actually cloud what is true, what is important about the law, that the law that governs our relationship to God and to each other. Our Lord wants us to know that what really makes a person pure or impure is what comes out of the man's heart. And so he gives us a list of those things that can make somebody evil. He mentions, first of all, evil thoughts, evil deliberations. How many of us have had evil thoughts? I'm pretty sure everybody has. We all wrestle with these thoughts at times. And when we realize we're having an evil thought, we need to dismiss it from our minds as soon as possible without giving in to those thoughts. Jesus mentions also sexual immoralities, which, of course, covers any illicit sexual act outside of marriage. Our fallen human nature, so profoundly wounded by original sin, makes it very difficult for us to remain pure in our minds and in our bodies. But that's what we have to strive for with all our hearts, with full intentionality. And our Lord mentions other sins that come out from the human heart. He mentions thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evils which are associated with demonic activity, deception, trickery. And he mentions godlessness, which means living without any prayer or worship or thought of God, living in a manner oblivious to God's existence. Do we not know people like that? In this long list, we also find the sin of covetousness, looking upon others' goods with evil intent and envy. And he mentions blasphemy, which is a verbal attack on a person's reputation or dignity, whether that is a human person or a divine person. It's a great sin, blasphemy. It comes from the person's heart if one is not careful. And finally, he mentions pride, arrogance, haughtiness, thoughtlessness, or mindlessness. It's quite a list that he enumerates. And I'm pretty sure that those Pharisees who were listening, and everybody that was listening that day, knew he was talking to them, just as we realize his words are addressed to each of us as well. But our divine master, he knows how we are. He knows how weak we are. He knows how easily it is for us to fall into sin. What really makes a person impure is not whether they washed their hands before they ate, but rather those evil things that come from within. Those are the things that God wants us to eliminate so that we can be truly pure of heart. And we're not left hopeless in this situation of trying to fight these evils. And our Lord has given us a very beautiful sacrament through which we can be cleansed and washed clean. If we're truly sorry for these sins, if we confess them openly and completely to a priest, even if the sins are not mortal, it's still good to go to confession, to rid ourselves of venial sins, receiving thereby the grace that comes from that sacrament, helping us to overcome even every attachment to sin, whether venial or mortal. God knows how hard it is for us to live the kind of purity that he wants from us. He keeps the bar very high. He tells us to be perfect, even as God is perfect. If we wish to enter into heaven, we have to strive mightily to live God's law, observing the kind of purity of heart that sets us free. Free to love God with all our hearts and our neighbors as ourselves, as we truly should. Divine grace is there for us, for each of us. It's possible to be truly pure and holy, or else God would not have commanded us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But obviously, we need to be very careful in our lives, staying very far away from occasions of sin. If we're careless in this manner, we'll probably fall. And sometimes it requires a great sacrifice on our part. Remember, our Lord says, if your eye is leading you into sin, gouge it out. Of course, he doesn't really mean that we should gouge out our eyes, but he does want us to use a certain violence with ourselves at times to help us overcome habitual sin of any kind. Penance, fasting, mortifying our senses, if done in the right spirit, can help to bring about a profound change in our lives. And that's why Our Lady at Fatima, in her apparition there and other apparitions, always asked for prayer and penance. She knew very well, of course, the value of such things, not just for ourselves, but for the conversion of other sinners as well. So, brothers and sisters, we might give some thought to these things today on this beautiful Lord's Day, rejoicing in the good God, how much he loves us, each of us, how much he wants us to observe his law, so we can order our lives in such a way as truly to flourish and to be pleasing to him.